morning, Daddy.
Good morning, Elaine. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Are you having fall weather there?
Oh, yeah. So it's, today's supposed to get up to like 74. So
uh-huh.
We have a whole week of really beautiful weather.
Yeah. Well, we're going to be warm today. I think the 90s.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Well, that's how fall is. Some days it's in the 90s, some days it's in the 70s. So it won't stay 90 for very long.
I know our granddaughter that lives in Arizona was coming home from work the other evening, and she gave us a call, and she said she was really happy because it was cooling down a little bit. It was 98 degrees, and I said to her, "Oh, good grief!" And at that point, we were in the 60s. I said, "Oh, our teeth are chattering here."
Right.
Did someone else just join us that wants to say hi, maybe?
Good morning.
Hey, Steve. How are you?
Great. Hope all is well.
Absolutely.
Cool.
Hope you're doing great, too.
Yeah, we're hanging in there.
Yeah. So, I'm Shars in Texas by this time.
Oh.
Yeah, I talked to her briefly on Sunday. She needed the recipe for the bread from the magazine.
Oh.
Mary Jane's magazine. The quick bread. She was going to make that for her. She was at her cousin's.
Mary Lou.
So she was going to make that, and she didn't remember if she had the quantities right.
Oh.
So we ran over the recipe a little bit for her so that she could do that. So I guess by this weekend, she will be doing something with Rick Murphy and whatever he has going on there at this point in time.
Oh, I see. Now, that wasn't sourdough bread, was it?
Yes.
Oh, it is. Okay. I have to try that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the recipe in Mary Jane's magazine is not for sourdough, and she had no starter with her, so she was just going to make it the way the recipe is in the magazine.
Oh.
So, yeah, you know what, that's really, I've been without a stove for about 3 weeks now. And that's the thing I've been missing, I think, the most is making that bread. So it's really, you know, we're so used to thinking about bread and punching it down and letting it rise and punching it down and letting it rise, all that kind of stuff, that to me it was a little daunting to even think about starting because I didn't want to get involved in all that. But, wow, this is nothing like that. It's really a breeze to put together and have going without a big time involvement.
Uh-huh. I think I'm going to have to do that.
Yeah, I think you'll enjoy it.
has that come down as far as the actual recipe itself, not on the call, but actually on paper?
You know what? I don't know if she ever did that.
I never got it.
I don't remember ever seeing it.
Yeah. I was going to say, didn't the original recipe come out of that Mary Jane's Farm magazine? Right, exactly. And then Char kind of altered it to suit herself. So. Oh, yeah, she made it into the sourdough to begin with, and the recipe that's in the magazine is not a sourdough recipe. Okay. I thought there was a sourdough one in there, but I may be wrong. No, I don't remember seeing it. I always, did the alteration as far as the liquid is concerned.
Oh, okay.
And, using the sourdough to compensate for some of the water in it. So, were you interested in getting that, Steve?
I'm always interested in looking at different things. I would appreciate it. If you got it available.
Let me see what I can do to get it to you.
Yeah.
Betty. Excuse me. Betty, I'd be interested in her, Char's alterations too.
Okay.
Do you think you could just send it down from the original? I mean, I couldn't either. I thought it was going to be too involved probably for me to get it all done. But you're saying that this is simpler?
Oh my goodness, yes. Yes, you just, you know, you mix it up. It takes maybe, I think, stretching a point to say that it takes like 20 minutes to mix it up. I do it in the evening. After dinner, just throw the dry ingredients together, add the liquid that it's calling for, let it sit in the oven overnight, with nothing, you know, as far as temperature or anything, just let it sit overnight, and then, morning, and it only takes like, I'm thinking somewhere, at the most 45 minutes. I don't have the recipe right here with me at this point in time. So I think it's like 30 minutes with the lid on the Dutch oven and then 10 minutes with it off, with the lid off. So it's just that easy. The only thing you have to get a feel for is how sticky it should be whenever you add the water to it. So I don't know if I have the capabilities that I can just copy that recipe on my printer and then, you know, transfer it to send on the computer.
Can you just take a picture of it with your cell phone and forward the picture?
I don't have a cell phone that does that, Steve.
Oh, okay. All right.
Welcome to my world.
Mm-hmm.
Hey. I was going to say, some of us aren't as advanced as others. Let me say this, and I don't know what I'm doing while Steve's on, but Nancy, when you sent out that other recipe and said there's an attachment, I can never open it when you sent it out. I haven't said that, but I don't know what, if that link, what do you have to do to that link, or do I have to
just
copy
click on
and
it.
Paste, or what?
There's an attachment, just click on it, and then at the bottom it should say open, and you just click on that and it opens it up.
Well, that's what I've always been able to open attachments, but I couldn't on those things that you sent the last one, so I didn't know.
They're usually
so
Word documents that I have the recipe under.
I'll give it another try.
Okay.
But
I just didn't know.
I thought you I thought your email yesterday was very interesting.
Which one was that?
About the turmeric.
Oh, yeah.
Derivative.
Yeah,
and,
Ohio.
It's Carol's niece.
I thought, you know, they're finally getting the word out. What a place.
Anyway, have a good day, everybody. I've got to stop talking and start working. So have a great day.
You too, Steve.
Thanks. Too. So I didn't get to look at that yet, Nancy. It's an article on turmeric.
Well, Mindy sent it to me, and I thought, wow. It's an article that they are doing a study at Ohio State on higher doses, high plus versus lower dose turmeric for cancer, breast cancer initially. And because to reduce the inflammation. And they even, you know, intimated inflammation with disease. Thank you, Jamie. It's amazing. It was a really enlightening article. I sent it out a few days ago.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen it yet. Or maybe I saw it and haven't taken the time to sit down and read it yet. That's most likely what the story is.
Yeah.
But I think it's interesting because I've read a lot on turmeric as well. And, yes, like Jamie says, the inflammation. Even for my arthritis, that, and also for short-term memory problems, both of which are highly touted as far as using the turmeric for those things. So I would say, as far as general inflammation within the whole body, whatever the inflammation is, that it is a pretty great thing that they're finding with it. Not like we haven't known for a while that maybe not to this degree, but how great it is for your body. So I know we've been talking about it for years.
I sent the article to a thin friend of mine, and her comment was, you know, she liked it a lot, and interesting that they're linking it with obesity disease. And I just sends her back a quick note, something to the effect that the fat cells in our body affect the hormones in a really weird way or something like that. Because, you know, Oz has always said that fat takes on its own life.
Yes.
And it does affect the hormones. Obesity was definitely mentioned as another trigger.
So I'm thinking turmeric is like one of those things everybody should be taking regardless at this point in time.
Well, they were using it more as a dosing thing, you know, high versus low dose. I don't know whether a teaspoon of turmeric a day is going to quite cut it, but certainly use it. You never know what the benefit
is. You know, for myself as well as for Barry at this point, I definitely buy the capsules.
Oh, good.
And use those every single day.
Uh-huh. I don't.
So I think that getting it in our food is not sufficient as far as the two of us are concerned. Everybody would have to make their own decision on how much they're using, but I wasn't using it on a consistent basis, and that I felt it would be helpful.
Mm-hmm. Well, it'll be interesting to see what they come up with. And
yeah.
Of course, now that the idea is to have a healthy lifestyle, have a healthy weight, move your body, sleep. I don't know if I mentioned sleep, but, you know, the things that we talked about.
Great.
Good information, Nancy.
Yeah, it was a good article. Speaking of Oz, there are two things that I saw. Did anybody see the program on Tuesday?
No.
No.
This was something that was really interesting. He had on his neighbor, the title of the program was What Oz Really Tells His Friends and Family. Had his neighbor on, and she said, you gave me, and he wanted to know what I told you over the years. Apparently she has, you know, bothered him many times during the years of getting free medical information, although it wasn't worded that way. But anyway, this one tip has been so instrumental for me, and it just listen to this one. Have two bites of anything at all, he says, but then you wash it down with a full glass of water. It'll fill you up quickly and take away the urge. It tricks the stomach into being satisfied and tricks the brain into cooperating with the stomach. With two bites, the brain lights up with satisfaction, and you feel comfortable. The water fills you up. When you take two bites without the water, you'll keep eating. The brain still lights up and is satisfied, but the stomach isn't full. Interesting.
Really? He just had a whole glass of water with that after the two bites, huh?
Right. He had a plate of brownies, and, you know, he had his mock-up of two stomachs. And so she put two bites into one of the stomachs and then put the glass of water over it. And, you know, you could see it was full. Then he put the brownie into the second stomach and no water, so the stomach is still empty. So, you know, adding more and more brownie to it. And it's just an amazing concept that I never heard before and never thought of. Certainly water will fill you up. People say drink water before your meal. Some people say don't drink any liquids with your food, which I've heard for a long time. But if you really want something to eat, take two bites and follow it with a full glass of water and wait. See what happens.
That's great.
Yeah, it sounds like a good idea.
So, one other tip came from Tuesday's program. We talked about deodorant a couple of days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he came up with a really cheap, the next topic was body odor. And it's not caused, we all know that it's not caused by the actual wetness that it creates in the body. Sweat itself, the liquid part of it, does not create deodor. It's the bacteria. Milk of magnesia. Put a thin layer on where you'd put deodorant. It stops the smell. It has a drying effect on the skin. Let it dry, and then dress as usual. Leaves no residue. Could anything be cheaper than milk of magnesia?
Believe that. That's very different.
Put a little bit on your finger, put it under your arm, wherever you normally would put deodorant, and let it dry and get dressed and see what happens.
Wow.
Getting cheaper and cheaper, isn't it?
It sure is. I don't know what men's deodorant different, but I read something just on something I was going through and throwing away, and when I read this part, it said that if you were doing lots of heavy sports, like, you know, athletes or going to the gym or whatever else, that if women would use the men's deodorant, they wouldn't have the bad odor that they had. That somehow or another, the men's deodorant helped correct that when you were really working out. Don't know how it could be, and I don't know what kind. They didn't give a brand or anything. They just said that. But this would be great.
Yeah, it's worth a try.
And
well,
for somebody that...
You don't have to mix anything up. It's there for you. So, it doesn't even take that time that we've had with other recipes for deodorant or toothpaste or anything else. So, that's pretty great.
If you travel, you could always put it into a little bottle.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even have any in the house. I never keep it, but, you know, it'd be worth buying some for.
For sure. I don't think it's expensive at all.
Right, absolutely. Good thing to have on hand.
I've never bought it.
I don't have any in the house at this point either. It's been a long time since I bought that. They had me taking something like that for problems when I was pregnant one time, and it gave me such nightmares. I never used it again.
Give you nightmares.
Hopefully it's better under arms than in your tummy.
Then, and I don't mean to take over the call, but he had a segment on, or two actually, with a guy who was a therapist, who became a therapist because of his own lifestyle that he didn't like, and he decided this was out of control. And he had a woman on who, and he showed a video of her at home, had to control everything. A real control freak. And this therapist named Wyatt Webb says, you can't control anything. It was really interesting to listen to what he was saying. Pain is based on self-doubt and fear. Repressed energy in the body will often manifest itself in illness, which I knew that from years ago. This creates stress. Anxiety is a longing for closeness. Someone with massive control issues is afraid. They're out of control. No one is in total control of anything. It's an illusion. We have choices, different, and that's different from control. And he had this woman on, and he said, I will give you $1,000 for go to the board and write down three things that you have control over, and for each of those that is correct, I will give you $1,000. Well, guess what, folks? She got zero. And she wrote down, I didn't write down what she wrote down, but each of the things that she wrote down were not control things that she had control over, but things that she made choices about. And there is a difference. And so at the end, she said, well, I thought I had control over the $3,000. I just lost $3,000. And the therapist said to her, you never had it. And he said, gee, isn't that kind of like the control that you think you have over other things? You really don't control. It's all a matter of choices that we make. I'm sorry, what? When we try to be in control, we're trying to accomplish the impossible. We make choices but can't control most things. This creates stress. but you can't expect to feel, the best you can expect to feel all day is poorly when you're doing all this control stuff. I feel like a loser, you'll tell yourself. What does this do to us? What is it costing us? It's a shame to spend your whole life working to a point of destruction and miss the beauty of what's happening right in front of us. If someone was going to give you $3,000, there were three things you control, and you can't name three things, you feel like you lost the $3,000, but you never had it. Just by control. Wake up every morning and enjoy your day. And then Oz had him list three things, what you do if you're caught up in control and can't de-stress from it. Let go of the illusion of control. It's not going to happen. Never has, never will. Number two, stress is self-created. Don't manage stress. Prevent it. All behavior is learned. You learned how to do this to yourself. It's a product of this culture. Number three, examine your own life, your own belief system and not others. You have the right to believe whatever you want to. I have an obligation to look at my own belief system and decide precisely what I believe and behave from a place of integrity. Interesting?
Very interesting.
Yes. Yeah, it is.
And how many of us either are or know somebody who feels like they have to control everything? Or how many of our husbands have said we are such control freaks when in reality we can't control anything? And the only person we can control is ourselves. I learned that many years ago. Again, he would probably say that's by making the choices we do. So there's not much we can control.
Isn't it interesting, too, when you're talking about a lot of people that have bulimia or whatever, things like that, they say... The thing in their mind is that it's the only part of their life they have control over.
Right.
And when you look at it from what you've read, what you've been talking about, Nancy, it comes down to they still don't have control over that. They have choices to make.
Well, I was thinking, if I were there, would I write down, I have control over what I put in my mouth? And it's a matter of choices. It's really not a control thing.
Right.
So yeah.
Exactly.
I agree with you. They've always said this is the only thing they can control. And I mean, when you are trying to potty train a child, they've always said, you know, that's their one thing that they can control, especially when you're having a difficult time. So again, is that really their control or is it their choice? In an office, I've heard for many years, the one who has the most control is the lowest paid employee. If you think about it, you're working for this big shot, whatever his title is, and you're the secretary, you're making a whole lot less than he is, and yet you can control how quickly you get the work to him, whether you let it go through with mistakes or not. But again, is that a choice or is that control? Interesting.
Yeah, it's coming at it from a whole different angle.
Yeah, I mean, I've always said we all have choices, whether it's what we put in our mouth, what time we go to bed, how we treat people.
Yep.
Even what comes out of our mouth.
Yes.
That was interesting.
Absolutely.
Really makes you think, doesn't it?
It does. And when we're sick, we don't really have the control because we are making choices to either agree with or not what they tell us we should do.
Yes.
Yeah, very
yeah,
thoughtful. That's very good.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm battling with the choices. Like you said, I don't want to take a statin drug, and yet I'm not getting my cholesterol down low enough. And so it's just my choice, I guess, what I live with or not. I've gotten it down for years, but see, it's way higher still.
What
it used to be a lot higher. Huh?
What
it's around 261. And they want me again to take the statin drugs, and every time I took statin drugs, they made my body hurt in different places. So I've got the choice, and I kept thinking I was going to be able to control it with the choices of the food I was eating, you know. But I have it down from where it used to be, but it's not down enough.
Well, what is enough, you know?
Well, that's it, because I know part of mine's hereditary. When they ask you on that, my mother had it, you know, a long time back. I never did know what my dad's was, but then, you know, your genes give you different things, and he had heart problems and all, so.
Have you tried the red yeast rice?
That's what I'm doing right now. I'm trying the red rice. And the CoQ10.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see what's going on with that. Do you just take one a day, Mary Lou?
Yes.
At this point, one didn't do it for me, and I'm taking two a day, one in the morning and one at night.
That might be a thing to try. Because I had it done in the lab work and then the other day within a month, and it hadn't changed between the doctor's office with all theirs, you know, and then just going to the little health clinic and having it done. It had gone down 1 point. And of course,
yeah.
Then where they do it at the little health clinic, you know, it's just, you know, they're not doing the individual on your triglycerides and all the others. But the good, the HDL that's good, it's good, you know. It's hidden within its range. But those other ones just don't do it, so. But I'll keep on, but I'll just do that. Thank you for that advice. I'll take two.
Yeah. You're not having any reaction from taking one, right?
No. I don't know what the reaction would be, but I don't guess I am.
Well, yeah, if you're not having any, I mean, you have things with statins and you're not seeing any changes as far as taking this that's a negative. So, I talked to my doctor and that he had said try taking two and see what happens. So
okay.
As far as the doctor was concerned, I wasn't, you know, there was no problem with moving to that amount.
Uh-huh.
So, all I can do is try.
All right. Well, of course, my doctor would not recommend the red rice yeast or whatever, you know, because they'll just strictly want to go with the statin drug because he's just he's a DO, but he's not a naturopath.
Well, neither is mine, and he didn't suggest that I go on it. I told him I was going on it. So.
Okay. I guess that's what I'll tell him I'm doing. So.
Yeah. If he wasn't going to work with me, I was going to take a walk out the door and not work with him.
Has left the conference.
All righty.
Mary Lou, this is Ina.
Yes.
And I heard that if you eat a serving of lentils every week, that will bring your cholesterol down.
I try to do that because I like those and they agree with me fine and they're always real good. But no, I thought it had to be nearly every day.
Well,
But you said a week.
Yeah, I think I would eat them more than once a week.
Okay.
This is from Christina. Christina Cook. She's a vegan, and she has a show on TV, and she has cookbooks and so on. And that's where I heard it.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that any beans probably would be a good idea to add.
I think they are. Well, they're real good for you. They really say they are. Everything I read.
Yeah, I think so, too.
And there's certainly no reason you can't put them on your salad or incorporate them every day.
Uh-huh.
Well, we're kind of past our time, guys. Anybody have any final thoughts or concerns that you want to bring up before we move on for the day? Okay. I guess we're good to go. Take care, everybody. Have a wonderful day. And
okay.
I guess the same crew will be back tomorrow, huh?
Thanks for doing it, Betty.
Thank you.
I didn't do anything, Nancy. Hey, take care, everybody.
Bye.
Talk to you tomorrow. All righty. Bye-bye.
To learn more about NECAN, we encourage you to contact the person who suggested you listen to this information.